You're listening to the Meadows Podcast on the Porch, hosted by Bob Arnold and friends. We've begun a new series called The Great Sadness, where we hear people's stories about loss, pain, and suffering, and how God works through such tragedies. Starting on September 20th, we'll be offering a four-week introductory course on the Enneagram, a spiritual roadmap to discover your true self. After that is the Spiritual Development Forum, a four-week workshop series to develop a deeper divine intimacy. Both series will take place at Grace Fellowship Church in Timonium, Maryland. To sign up for upcoming events and learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org.
Welcome back to The Meadows Podcast, and we're on the porch again, and we're talking about The Great Sadness. And I'm going to talk today about a number of the things that I feel that I did over the last 13 years to cope with this enormous pain that happened in my great sadness. And, whatever way it comes into your life, it's overwhelming. And it could be a job, it could be a divorce, it could be a lot of things. In our case, it was the death of our daughter. But I can remember the second night after Marcy died, that the pain that I felt was so overwhelming that I really thought that maybe I was going to die. The pain was so bad. And interestingly, 4 months later, I was sitting one morning in prayer and I came to the realization that Marcy died. And so sometimes, you go into such a state of shock, you really don't know totally what happened. I mean, I knew that she died, but I think it was 4 months later when I really realized that. But let me talk about the few things I think that can help you cope in the midst of a great sadness if you're now experiencing it. First of all, it's very important to know that God is with you. And He is a great friend in times of trouble, and He knows how to be a father in times of trouble. You know, if it's a situation with death, here's what I believe. Death is our enemy, and death is God's enemy, and that God conquered death. I think there are three very important foundations. And I think, as Teresa of Avila said, is all suffering is first God's suffering. So whatever you're suffering in, God was the first one to suffer what you're suffering. And just remember, He's with you in the midst of that. Probably the first and really the most important thing I think in terms of dealing with whatever sadness you're into is learning to live in the moment. And it's, the past and the future can be really, really devastating to you. Partly the past becomes devastating because for the most part, the past is a time of condemnation. It's a time where you feel great shame. And so when you start to dwell on the past, especially if you're a parent or maybe you're somebody that lost your job, the past can just be a devastating voice in your mind. And so it's important that from that standpoint, you stay in the present. The other thing is the future can be just a devastating voice also, because the future tends to be a voice of fear. And if whatever bad thing happened to you, you begin thinking this could happen again. So if you have a child and a child dies, you could easily begin thinking that just as easily any of my children have died. But I think you have to stay away from the temptation of thinking of the future, because the future can just create a very, very dark, negative mentality, and fear can just overwhelm you. Fear begets fear, and the fear can just continue to grow. And so I think it's very important that you, as much as possible, learn to live in the present moment. And when you're tempted by the shame of the past or the fear of the future, you recognize that it is shame and it is fear, and you don't let those voices dominate you. Only thing you have to do is make it through the moment. And the only moment that matters is the present moment. The reality of the matter, the past no longer exists, and the future never did exist. And so there are two realities that are no longer important. What is important is the present moment. The second thing that I think is learning to enter into the sadness. What happens when a lot of people face this deep darkness? They get really afraid, they try to deny, and they try to stay as far away from it as possible. Somewhere along in my life, I learned that when you have a great sadness, it's very, very important that you fully enter into that sadness. And there is a thing that if you deny sorrow, sorrow can become your enemy. If you enter into sorrow, sorrow can become your friend. And I did a lot of things intentionally to get very, very close to Marcy. I went and visited the school she went to in high school and just felt the reality of Marcy being at the school. When we went on vacation in North Carolina, we intentionally went to Myrtle Beach. We went to the apartment. We go to the apartment that Marcy died, where Marcy died. And so, you know, the closer you can get to sadness and sorrow, the more that sadness and sorrow will be a friend, and it will be a very, very healing agent. If you try to stay away from it, you know, it becomes a bigger and bigger problem. You know, like it or not, death and sadness hold all of the cards. And so, but the way you can beat those cards is to come close to it like a friend. The other thing that I've learned in through the years is that whatever sadness or whatever mourning you're in, whether it's the loss of a relationship and a divorce or a death or a job or whatever sadness you encounter, is that it takes 3 years to actually mourn that reality. So a lot of younger people, when they break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, it really takes them 3 years for their emotions to be healed before they're really able to enter into another relationship. And one of the things in this three-year period, you have to, in reality, go back and mourn each of the circumstances, you know, not in a legalistic way, but there are very important circumstances that you have to revisit. The first time you revisit, they're overwhelming. The second time, it's not quite as overwhelming. And the third time, it begins to normalize. And so each of those things, as you revisit them, help you to bring a healing in that relationship. But it is one of the ways that you can help to begin to get healthy again from that overwhelming darkness that you face. One of the things that I did is over a three-year period, I wrote over 150 pages on Marcy's death in my journal. Every day I would get up and begin writing things. And, you know, find a way that you can begin expressing your emotion, whether it's writing or maybe you write poetry or maybe you could write songs or just going and talking to somebody else. It really does help you to enter into the things you're thinking about, enter into the struggles that you have, and to be able to, you know, have some outlet to express those things. The other thing that I realized is it was very important that I went slow. And, you know, in all of these circumstances, jumping in and taking on a major responsibility can be very, very dangerous. You know, when I was going through this time with Marcy, I was running Youth for Christ, and we lived in a very, very, very high-pressured environment. You know, that we had two retreats a year where there were 3,000 kids involved. We have a banquet. We have a golf tournament. There's the ongoing responsibilities, and it was an overwhelming thing. But I can remember going to a conference, and when I got back 3 days later, I had lost all my emotional ability, and I was in a deep, deep darkness. And I realized that taking on too heavy of a responsibility can just be too much for you to do when you're going through any kind of deep sadness. See, that sadness and all the emotion that's involved in that sadness just zaps all the energy from you. And to take on something big in the midst of that, it's actually pretty dangerous. And you have to try to be very, very careful and not take on too many big things, because it'll really put you in a place of deep, deep depression. Now, one last thing that I want to say to you, and I want to say this to you from a standpoint that of, you know, people ask this question, what can I do when a friend of mine's, you know, a family member dies? What can I do when somebody goes through sickness or divorce? Well, one thing you definitely do not want to do, and that's to give them advice, to try to give them easy answers, to give them Bible verses to help them cope with this reality. You know, they're at a point where it's very, very hard to receive any of that situation. And a lot of times, our easy, quick answers are pretty much useless for somebody going through a very, very deep problem. I found the very, very best thing to do is to listen to them and to just allow them to talk about their situation, especially in the situation with a death. It's so helpful for that person to have somebody they can talk to, somebody they can talk to who's not going to give them an easy answer, who's not going to try to solve the problem, but just listens and lets them have the time to talk about it. People, for some reason, want to talk about how their loved one died and what happened at the circumstances of their death. And every time they tell that story, it's a very healthy and healing reality. So these are just some of the things that I've learned practically as I've walked through this situation for the last 13 years. And I'll tell you that, you know, this sadness has been very, very deep with me, and I've spent really a lot of time over the 13 years crying. And, you know, crying is also very, very helpful to you. So I hope this has been helpful to you also. And, you know, we have some great things we're going to be doing with this whole idea of sadness over the next couple of weeks. Thank you.